Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
You know, you just never know what's going to happen. I was getting ready to do this podcast, and of course the lights started flickering, and lights went out temporarily, and you know, I thought, you know, this doesn't happen that often, but I still tend to think maybe the enemy's trying to mess with me a little bit. But anyway, thank you that you've come here. I realize, of course, my battery on my podcast will give me enough power, even if everything goes out, but it's always nicer to read when you have some light. And when the power goes out, that can affect that, of course. But anyway, I'm glad that you're with me tonight, and hopefully this will be a good evening for you, as it looks like I'm going to be able to do this podcast. As I have been dealing with the coronavirus, like everybody has been these days, everybody, that's the talk of the world, I have been, as by way of review, I've been observing how reactions to the coronavirus by several false prophets and teachers might be helping to drive people towards a one-world religion, maybe developing in them more and more of an aversion to true biblical Christianity, or, you know, seeing that some of these false prophets and teachers, in fact, have elements in their teachings that go right along with some of the false religions, cults and what have you, that'll make up the one world religion in the future. But that's the angle that I'm coming from the last few podcasts. And this probably, as last week, I like to give a title to my comments. If it's a current event type situation like this, I still like to have some type of a title. And I have been running with Backdoor to the One World Religion. But I think I like the title I thought of, The Coronavirus Stronger Than False Prophets. It used to be a commercial for a detergent, and it was the song line went, the tagline went, stronger than dirt, stronger than dirt. So I think the coronavirus is stronger than this these dirty doctrines that these guys have been coming up with. Actually, these prophecies that they've come up with to claim that that the coronavirus is gone and been done away with because they spoke it or they prophesied it or what have you. Anyway, just by way of review, I'll give you the titles of some of the articles we've already looked at. One was Steve Strang of Charisma Magazine and Cal Pierce decreed that the coronavirus would leave the earth today, and it didn't. Televangelist declares C-virus is finished. And that was Kenneth Copeland, and of course it wasn't. And Copeland blows the virus away. I don't think that was the exact title, but, you know, you get the idea. That was yet another article that I was quoting from one of these false teachers, false prophets, actually, because in each of these cases, these people claimed that they were prophesying something that was going to happen, which, of course, didn't happen, which, guess what, makes them false prophets. Now, you know, maybe, actually, Strang and Pierce and Copeland, maybe they believed another false prophet who we're going to look at tonight, though they really don't need another false prophet to come up with their own. But I have to wonder, because of what you'll see in the content of this next article that we want to look at. You know, Jeremiah, and I'm not going to quote any scripture but from the book of Jeremiah, but Jeremiah had to deal with false prophets. And he described those who prophesied the lies of their own heart. They weren't true prophets. They were prophesying the lies of their own heart. Of course, Jeremiah was a true prophet of God, and he was speaking God's will and word to the nation of Israel who was, you know, that was in rebellion against God and wanted to follow their itching ears and the false prophets that they were following, just as in today, the majority of folks now are following some type of false teacher or false prophet that claims to be Christian or represents Christianity. Of course, very sad time, perilous times we're living in. And, you know, that's why I like the title of my program, Deception in the Last Days, because it's everywhere. Thankfully, God warned us, Matthew 24:4, he said, beware lest any man deceive you. So we know the times that we live in are prophetic in the sense that one of the big signs of before Christ's return would be massive spiritual deception taking place. So thank God for those who, and there are many faithful watchmen on the wall out there that are blowing the whistle on these false teachings and trying to direct people back to true biblical Christianity. Now, let me just say that this article actually came from a website, and this particular website, I refer this as your one-stop shopping center for false prophecies. You know, it's called the Elijah List, because you know Elijah was a great prophet, and you know you can go to the Elijah List, and there's just all kinds of so-called prophets there. And you can cash in and get in on the action and have your own personal false prophet, I suppose. Did I say false prophet? Yes. Okay. Well, that's what I meant. And so on the Elijah List, I noticed recently that Joseph Prince had a prophecy from, I think it was 2018. The article will go into more details about that. And the title of this article was Prophecy Decoders. God has already released a new strain of healing. Now, this article is from April 3rd, 2020, but the prophecy was from August 19th, 2018. 2018. It says, some of you may have suffered the loss of a loved one, or you know somebody who has. Some of you may have suffered financial loss or the loss of a job, and your world is turned upside down. We pray that the following prophetic word spoken in advance of the COVID-19 outbreak will provide you with hope and healing. And I think, you know, my thought is, how in the world does this help these folks? You'll see what I mean when I read you this this article, this prophecy. Joseph Prince declared this prophecy on August 19th, 2018, regarding a new strain of healing already released. And, of course, my comment is, if it has been released since 2018, why has the coronavirus been doing so well? You know, why has it even arrived? You know, why is it here? What's going on here? Why hasn't there been universal healing, I guess would be the best way to put it. But going on in the article, first you'll have the prophecy, and then you have the prophecy decoders analysis over there to the Elijah List. God has released a healing anointing, a new strain of healing that would perform such feats that we have never seen before. The devil is afraid and he is playing catch up. He's trying to create a new strain of virus that is like Ebola and a strain of flu that is virulent against medical treatment. But I want you to know that we're in the best of generations. Okay, my first comment, I suppose, would be God has released a healing anointing. You know, so is one of the reasons for the foolhardy, common sense challenged actions of the other false prophets that I mentioned, Strang, Pierce, and Copeland, and others that we'll see later in future podcasts, is this one of the reasons? You know, did they hear about this prophecy in 2018? Well, like I say, false prophets don't need other false prophets for their motivation. So I doubt that that's the case, but that came to my mind. Now, also, I can't help but observe the comment, but I want you to know we are in the best of generations. Prince wanted to comfort us and that we're in the best of generations. And I thought of one of his friends, Joel Osteen, who, of course, talks about that we can have our best life now. You know, that just reminded me of that. The best of generations. Your best life now. You know, it's all good. We're King's kids. Don't expect any problems. Expect everything to be rosy and everything's going to be fine. Another comment that comes to my mind is when somebody says that, you know, I want to say, too, you know, where is this healing anointing? That's what I was trying to say earlier, is that where is this healing anointing that has been released in 2018? Wouldn't that have taken care of this problem? I would think that it should. Now, the prophecy decoder's analysis is, what a tremendous word spoken in August of 2018, over a year before the COVID-19 outbreak in China in December of 2019. From the prophecy, we realize that God was not caught flat-footed by the enemy's tactics. Now, why should anybody, and this is my comments, why should anybody ever think that God would be caught flat-footed? I mean, that tells you something about that people would even consider, that God could be outflanked or checkmated or whatever by the devil. Reading a different book, I'm afraid, because God would never be caught flat-footed by the devil, that's for sure. That would never enter the mind of any sound Bible interpreter, I wouldn't think. So anyway, we're comforted to know that God hasn't been caught flat-footed. And, you know, God is omniscient, he's almighty, he's all-powerful. He won't ever be caught flat-footed by the enemy's tactics. Now, we see all through this prophetic word spoken in advance that the devil is playing catch-up to what God has already released. What are they talking about? Again, I come back to the same thought. Well, if this healing anointing was released over a year before, or, you know, a year or so, whatever, before this virus has come out, why didn't it just go away? You know, these other guys that I mentioned, these other false prophets, they told us when it was going to stop, and they were blowing on it, and they had all these different ways of saying it's good now, everything's fine. This guy's saying there's this healing anointing that's going to be able to be one step ahead of anything that comes, and yet here we are. Where's the healing? Okay, so let's read on. And again, I might add, how does this help these folks that they mentioned at the start of this article? Those who suffered loss of a loved one, or know somebody who has, or financial loss, you know, how does this help them, okay, that we hear about this prophecy that happened 2 years ago, and their loved one still died, and they still had financial loss, but hey, be encouraged, some guy said that there was a healing anointing that's going to, you know, keep God from being flat-footed, or whatever. Anyway, amusing and sad at the same time. Now, another facet in this multifaceted prophetic word from August 2018 is that the devil is trying to create a new strain of virus. So we should not blame God for the coronavirus or say the coronavirus is God's will. Of course, this pandemic is the work of the enemy and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, God could still be using this virus, okay? God does use suffering in people's lives. God can allow suffering in people's lives, and God can warn of worse dangers to come. God could be using this. This is a precursor or a preview of the pestilences that are spoken of during the Great Tribulation in Matthew 24:7. I mentioned Mark Hitchcock a couple of podcasts back, and his comments that you know, this coronavirus, you know, he did not believe that we're in the Great Tribulation, but that this was a pandemic, a pestilence, similar in some ways to what will be coming. But these things that are coming that are going to be part of the birth pangs that Jesus spoke of, it's not here yet. And if it was here yet, I don't think there'd be a lot to be happy about that this and other bad things were happening. But anyway, my point is that this could be a preview or a precursor, and I want to talk a little bit more about that and quote another prophecy expert. You know, Mark Hitchcock is one I quoted before. I want to be speaking to what another man said here in a minute. Now, and again, just to reiterate, God does use the enemy sometimes. He told, Satan wanted to sift Peter. Jesus said, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, Peter. Satan came before God and asked permission to go after Job. And God has used the devil on many occasions. Never caught flat-footed. God's always ahead. God always knows what he's doing. We don't, except for what he's revealed to us through his word. But we should not be going to the Elijah list or false prophets because we want to know the mind of God. We need to stick with the canon of Scripture, the truth of God's word, to know what is coming in the future. And he's told us much about prophecy that many are ignoring, many Christians, many of those in the professing church they're ignoring. So, to go on a little bit more, finally, the prophetic word spoken in advance by Joseph Smith states that we are in the best of generations. As prophetic people, we must see the situation correctly from God's perspective. We are entering a time that multiple generations would have longed for. Can you see the light shining in the midst of darkness? See it by faith and expect to see God's goodness in your life. I mean, maybe I'm missing something here. Are we longing for the Great Tribulation? Are we longing to go through that? Is that it? Or, you know, is am I misunderstanding this best of generations that we should be expecting here? Are we just going to, you know, speak the Great Tribulation away? I personally am pre-trib. I believe that the Lord is going to catch the bride out of the world before the Great Tribulation comes. But if I thought I was going through it, I wouldn't be saying, well, gee, this is the best of generations. Jesus said the Great Tribulation is going to be the worst thing that's ever come upon this world. So somebody's, you know, missed the bulletin or something. They didn't read the memo quite correctly. But false prophets, you know, they ever wax optimistic, especially if there's money involved. But anyway, I digress. I won't go back to say anything more about Mark Hitchcock's comments. He put out a little 7-minute video, which was really good, explaining the fact that the future tribulation that's spoken of, you know, in the judgments in Revelation 6, and then Matthew 24, the pestilences, earthquakes, the type things that, for instance, I quoted, or didn't quote it, but I mentioned Matthew 24:7. He went to some length. Well, Jimmy DeYoung was on Brandon House's site recently, and again, speaking of the coronavirus, as so many are, and DeYoung was saying, you know, the coronavirus, he believes, is warning of worse things yet to come. Wow, what a prophet of doom, huh? No, you know, warning people. I think it's awesome that he's speaking the truth in love, that people need to be warned. They need to study prophecy. They need to know that they need to get right with God if they don't know. And they need to be comforted that no matter what comes, if they do know Christ, that he's the great he's the great shepherd that will watch over us. Now, you know, the apostles in Matthew 24:7, they were asking about, I'm quoting the comments that I got from DeYoung, they were asking about signs of a second coming, not the rapture in Matthew 24:7, same thing that Hitchcock was saying. And he mentioned that the word pestilence, pandemic, it totally describes the coronavirus today, you know, so the word pestilence in Matthew 24:7 is the same word. But again, he says, I don't think this is going to be fulfilled until the Great Tribulation. In other words, the birth pangs that will include more pestilences and all of these other earth-shaking, literally, earthquakes, no pun intended, events. Now, he says what we are seeing is a precursor of what's going to happen during that Great Tribulation period. He said, this is shouting across the countryside, over the horizon, from the heavenlies. Pay attention. This is what is going to happen in the future. You better make sure you're prepared for that event right now. You know, be prepared. Make peace with God. Know Christ. You know, accept his free gift of pardon. And be ready. Be ready to be snatched out of this world, to be taken home, so that you can, you know, pass on this on this wrath of God that's coming on this world, and ultimately the eternal wrath of God that will be the lake of fire. He also made one other comment that I liked, of course, and that was he referred to Matthew 24 as the pre-written history by the ancient prophets. Isn't that a word of comfort? I love that, that Matthew 24, this mini apocalypse that's written there, these prophetic events, these terrible things that are coming, this is all pre-written history by the ancient Jewish prophets. To God, this is history. You know, well, he doesn't live in time anyway, so that's not even completely accurate, I suppose. But it's future to us. It's not history. But it's accurately described, I think, as pre-written history. We can know that this is coming, and that true prophets have told us, these Jewish prophets have told us what's going to come. Okay, now, we finished up this article, and now I would like to move to another article of another person who, of course, is making Christianity and Christians look bad. Not that it's our fault or Christ's fault, because Christ warned there would be people like this. And, of course, for that reason, we need to be forewarned as forearmed. And Jesus said, beware of false prophets, and they will come. Well, the people I've described in earlier podcasts, Kenneth Copeland, Stephen Strang, this man's last name is Pierce, first name escapes me, Joseph Prince, these people, that I've mentioned before, they share something in common with another man who's been in the news a lot lately, who's he has a church, I think it's called The River or something along that lines. But I'm very familiar with him over the years for all the damage he's done to, you know, to the name of Christ and Christians. He's one of so many of the false teachers and false prophets that are active and operating in these last days. And, of course, without further ado, I will say his name is Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, the Holy Ghost bartender, he referred to himself. And, of course, noted for the laughing revival that so many people have, you know, succumbed to, I suppose. I remember seeing footage at Kenneth Hagin's church where all these people were acting like, really like loons, lunatics, you know, where nothing funny was happening, but they were all in hysterics because of some mystical experiential high that they were having or what have you. And I suppose I wanted to get into that article. So with the time I have, I will just I will share with you later an experience that I had almost had with the laughing revival. And I will also, you know what? There it is. Okay, that's what I'm looking for. Thank you. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. I have to check my notes here, folks. I got so much information. Please forgive me for this delay. But Pastor Rodney Howard Brown arrested for holding church service defying safer at home order. This is from the Christian Post. This was March 30th, 2020. And maybe he also had heard from Strang, Pierce, Copeland, and Prince that everything was going to be fine and business as usual. Excuse me. Now, so, finally, without further ado, he was arrested. Okay. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, leader of the Revival International Ministries in the River at Tampa Bay Church in Tampa, Florida, was arrested Monday for what officials say was the violation of a safer at home order, which prohibits large worship services during the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. The sheriff there, Chad Cronister, said that when he saw images from a crowded Sunday service at the church posted online, he was furious. We received an anonymous tip that Rodney Howard Brown refused a request to temporarily stop holding large gatherings at his church, he said, and instead he was encouraging his large congregation to meet at his church. Hillsborough County issued a safer at home order effective March 27th. The order mandates non-essential businesses to abide by the CDC's social distancing guidelines that requires individuals to be separated by 6 feet of space. If they are unable to do that, they have to shut down. Brown argued that his church is an essential business. And, of course, I would say I'm sure he does because there's a lot of money involved. You know, he's got to keep up the mansions. Anyway, Cronister noted that Howard Brown's church has the technological resources to simply resort to online worship temporarily and abide by the order, but the church instead chose to endanger congregants. The River Tampa Bay Church has an advantage over most places of worship as they have access to technology allowing them to live stream their services over the internet and broadcast television for more than their 4,000 members to watch from the safety of their own homes. Instead, they encouraged people to come and gather at the church, even provided bus transportation to the services. Our goal is not to stop people from worshiping, Cronister said at a press conference, but the safety and well-being of our community must always come first. It's a shame that someone has taken advantage of this. For whatever reason, I just don't understand it. The only reason I can see is it's a reckless reason to put your parishioners in jeopardy. Cronister told the local news that he hopes church members realize how serious officials are about this arrest. I believe there's nothing more important than faith at a time like this. And as a sheriff's office, we would never impede someone's ability to lean on their religious beliefs as a means of comfort, Cronister said, but practicing those beliefs has to be done safely. Now, I come down on the side of common sense, and I do believe this is temporary. I understand that that there are those who would like to take away our freedoms of worship, etc. I understand all that's involved. But I believe that that this temporary crisis, and I mentioned this in another podcast, that during the Spanish flu, the same things were implicated. Things were put into effect, that people were supposed to not gather more than 10 people. They were supposed to not even go to churches or movie houses or anything else. This was back in 1918. And, you know, we don't have a world government now because of that. But anyway, one day we will. But I think people like Rodney Howard Brown and these others that I've mentioned could certainly help push people over the edge against biblical Christianity because of the recklessness and the lack of common sense in their actions, particularly people of his ilk, particularly people who, because we haven't gone into Rodney Howard beliefs, his Brown's beliefs, but they are very similar to the people I've already quoted the other articles about. He has a long history. I know this, even the Holy Laughter stuff, this predates him back in charismatic circles, charismatic and Pentecostal circles. And I was, as I was going to share, and I don't think I'll have time today, someone tried to bless me with this holy blessing, this Holy Laughter experience. And thank God, you know, God guarded me from that and gave me the backbone to say, no, I don't think so. I mean, nothing happened. I'm not going to fake something for you to make you look like you're somebody special or a man of God or whatever. But anyway, I'll share that experience next week. I think for now I'm going to close out the broadcast, but we're going to keep looking at some of these backdoor means by which the devil is building the one world religion. And I think a lot of it is the apostasy that we see in churches that involves the false teachings and prophecies of men and women like this. So God bless you all. I hope you'll join us again next week. Good night.